peace, goodwill toward men. Last part of verse number 14, you'll see it all over the place here in the next few weeks, where it says peace on earth, goodwill to man. That's what the world wants. But you'll never see the first part out there in public. Glory to God in the highest. There'll never be peace on this earth until there is glory to God in the highest. There ain't going to be no peace on earth with liquor stores and beer joints and topless bars and discos and rock videos. There ain't going to be no peace on earth. There will not be peace on this earth. They say, well, we can have peace on earth. Yeah, we can, but that ain't going to be peace on earth till the Prince of Peace comes and makes it that way. Now, we're going to look at the message of the angels this morning, so I want you to think with me just for a minute. And one of the greatest, most powerful messages in the entire Bible was here preached. Notice only a few people heard it originally, but God can take a message that's a good preaching message, and even though a small crowd hears it the first time, it can spread out all over the world. You know that? Which he did here. And the angel at the tomb there in Acts chapter 1 and in Matthew 28 just had a small crowd as they preached. And I guess I'd want to preach on this in a way this morning, because there is a big thing now called, there's an angel fad going around. Have y'all noticed this angel fad now? There's angelology is real popular right now. And they're making angels. Everything's angels. They're making movies, the little baseball movie with the angel catching the ball, you know, and helping them win and all of that. And they're making all kinds of pictures. And there's little things, I don't know what them little things are, made out of porcelain and ceramic and glass and everything. Angels are real popular right now. And I'm not sure that that's a good thing, because most people don't really know what an angel is in the Bible. And so you won't be caught up in all this worshiping of angels, according to the New Testament, what they call it. I want to tell you what the Bible says about angels and what we really should believe about them. Just as a little background on angels. Angels in the Bible now. If you don't believe me, go read your Bible when you get home. That says quite a bit about it. They are an appearance. An angel in the Bible is an appearance. They are ministering spirits. They are always young men. There are no female angels in the Bible. That's not a feminist statement. That's just a fact. I mean, read your Bible and see it. If you get mad about that, you should go hear Jane Fonda preach next week instead of me. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. They do not have wings in the Bible, so I guess all the birds are going to be offended now. They do God's biddings. They are not a python wrapped around you in your bed like Gene Dixon saw. Gene Dixon said this big snake wrapped around her bed and appeared in her eyes and told her wonderful things. That's not an angel. That's not an angel. An angel don't appear as a snake. If you got a snake wrapped around you in your bed at night, you got problems. Well, you got big problems. If you got a snake all around you that you let live, you got a problem. Amen. All snakes should die. But anyway, I want to talk to you about angels. We have them pictured as women with blonde hair and wings. That's not the way they are in the Bible. That's not the way they are at all. One fellow said, he said, I know my wife is an angel. He said, how's that? They said, well, she's always up in the air harping about something and never has an earthly thing to wear. That may be, I don't know. One guy came up and he said, my wife is an angel, buddy. I tell you, she's an angel. And the other guy said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Mine's still living. And a lot of people think that when you die, you go to heaven to be an angel. That's not true. That's not true. You go to heaven, live in a glorified body to be like the Lord. Angels, they're a different part of creation than what we are. Now, I do believe this. The Bible said about those little children, it says, they're angels. Do always behold the face of my Father. So there is something in the Bible to this guardian angel business. You've heard people say, little kids got guardian angels. Jesus said that their angels do always behold. It's like a kid has an angel that watches over them. And sometimes we do. I don't know. Somebody said we had two of them. If you're living right, you got goodness and mercy. And they're two angels that shall follow me all the days of my life. And I don't know, you know, about a whole lot of that. But I do believe they're there. I heard about many years ago that Queen Victoria was on a train, and they were heading down a railroad track, And the captain noticed that there was a strange figure on the track waving his arms like this to stop. And he threw on the brakes and stopped the train that Queen Victoria was riding. And when they stopped the train, they got out and found the bridge had been washed out and they would have died. And they got to looking and there was a moth stuck on the headlight flapping its wings, and it looked like a figure. And somebody thought, well, we thought it was an angel and it was just a moth. Well, I don't know. The angel still might have had something to do with that. I don't know. You've seen those pictures where the little kid's crossing the bridge, you know. You've seen up in bookstores and stuff, and he's crossing the bridge and the bridge is broke, but the kid can't see it. And then there's an angel there with his hand underneath it. That stuff probably happens. It probably happens. We can't see them, but they're there. They do God's work and God's bidding. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that some people have entertained angels unaware. You ever thought about that verse of Scripture that says you might have entertained an angel and not even have known it? My mom told me that when we was real little kids, when we lived down here in Clinchfield, me and my two older sisters was in the house one day. Mom told me, she said it was real cold and snowed that day. Daddy's gone off somewhere. And she said an old man come up the street. She said he had the sweetest look on his face. And he knocked on every door coming up our street. And she saw him and nobody would let him in because they was afraid of him. And she said when he came to our house, it just touched her heart. And she said she just could not bear the thoughts of that old man. And she brought him in, got him warm, and fed him, gave him something to eat. And I thought a lot about that. You say, preacher, you believe that's an angel? I don't know if it was or not. Bible said some have entertained angels unaware. Sometimes God may put people in our path just to see what we'll do. If it was a king, if it was a movie star, if it was a big shot, people would say, oh yes, oh yeah, he needs help, he needs help, let's help him. But somebody who's maybe insignificant, nobody knows their name, or they're poor, maybe don't smell good. We picked up this one guy coming back from Florida one night. I saw him laying on the side of the road. I thought he's dead. And I told him, I said, man, there's somebody. And we stopped, come back around, picked him up, and I rolled down the window just little like him. He jumped up and looked in the window. We said, where are you going? He said, anywhere. And we said, Piley, and this is in the middle of the night in Florida. That guy jumped in the car, and he'd been drinking. And we thought he was an angel. All that said, reckon he was an angel? One of them boys said, well, angels don't drink. I don't reckon, so it couldn't have been an angel. So I don't reckon it was. If he's drunk, it probably ain't an angel, so kick him out. But I want you to remember that you can possibly, God may let them come by your way and entertain them unaware. Now, what do angels say when they preach in the Bible? They don't say, well, dial your psychic hotline and dial 1-900, you sucker, and we're going to tell your future. They don't say that. You see them people on there, they want one thing, your money. And boy, that's what they're at. People talk about these TV preachers wanting money. Lord, what if it was like them psychic hotline people, like Eric Estrada and Dionne Warwick and all of them? Man, that's the money-makingest racket I ever seen. I don't know how much it costs, $3 or $4 a minute to talk to them. And you call them and say, oh, I'm having problems. What's it? They say, oh, wonderful things are going to happen to you. Oh, I see love in your future. You will fall in love. You're always going to fall in love or get a job making a lot of money. That's the way you know they're crooks, because they don't never tell you the truth. Well, I don't know about me. I have this funny feeling when I'm around horses. Well, it's because in your past life, you were a rich countess in England. And you rode a beautiful white horse back in the 1800s. Oh, really? Well, that's why I like horses. And I've always wanted to go to England. I used to live there in my past life. No. You're a nut. That's what you are. You're a nut. You have never lived here before. Do you understand that? This is it, man. You only have one chance, and this am it. You blow it this time, you never get to come back again. Now, if you believe that, listen, if they was honest, they'd tell you bad things. Like, what was I in my past life? Oh, let me check your crystal ball. Let me look at the wrinkles in your... Oh, you were a whore in Dallas, and you died with AIDS. Don't tell me that. See, they never tell you nothing bad. That's why you know they're crooks. Somebody had to be a transvestite that got run over in New York City. I mean, it had to be somebody. They ain't never going to tell you that, man. Who's going to pay them to hear that? Turn me up just a tad on this one, Roy. Listen here. You know what angels say when angels preach in the Bible? Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to tell you the truth, man. Angels say this. Angels always say, get up hurry, rise quickly, arise. They're always in a hurry. Did you notice that? Reminds you of anybody? I might be an angel. Angels are always in a hurry. Every time they preach in the Bible, they say, get up, let's go, hurry, move, go, stop, let's go. You want me to quote it to you in the Bible? When the angel spoke to Peter, he says, rise, quickly. When he spoke to Gideon, he said, get up, man, rise. When he spoke to Elijah, he said, arise and eat. They do not know what it means to be redeemed by the grace of God, like me and you do. They desire to look in. Angels up in the balcony of heaven this morning are looking in here wondering what we're talking about when we're saying saved by grace. But I'll tell you, they are God's special creatures to do God's special biddings. Amen? That's what angels do in the Bible. Let's look at the message of the angels. I'd like to have heard that one, wouldn't you? Let's say, first of all, it was a message of good news. Amen. It was a message of good news. They had looked and prayed for the Messiah for thousands of years. Let me tell you something. When this angel preached this message in the Word of God here, it had been 400 years since God had said anything. The people were in darkness for 400 years. From Malachi, the last Old Testament prophet, to Matthew was 400 years of silence. The Catholic Church has 7 extra books they stick in there called the Apocrypha that you should not waste your time with because they're not part of the Word of God to begin with. And that can be easily proved in another message, so we'll not take time to mess up this one with it. But I got one preacher one morning, he said his subject was, quote, the Apocrypha, between the Testaments. And the morning hymn was, nothing between. That'd be very appropriate. But this message here, there'd been nothing said by God for 400 years. 400 years. Can you imagine? 100, 200, 300, 400 years gone by. The Romans were ruling the world. People were taxed. They thought God had forgot about them. It's kind of like nowadays. You know how long it's been since God spoke to us now, don't you? 1611. They started that thing in 1604, and it's been almost 400 years since God's spoken to us again. I know about anything different. Amen? We've got this book right here. And boy, people were wondering, when's he going to come? 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 And they told their kids, and they died. And they told their kids, and they died. And they told their kids, when's he going to come? Don't you worry, honey. One of these days, God's going to send him a Messiah. God's going to send him a Messiah to get us out of this mess. When's he going to come, Mama? Grandpa's old, and he told us that. Grandpa's dead now, and we still... Yes, he's going to come, honey. Honey grew up. They had kids. They told their kids. They told their kids. I thank God, hallelujah, that great night finally came. They had prayed for the Messiah for years and years and years and years. And so the Greek philosophers had published their material. You know, all the Greek philosophers during that time of history come out with their positive thinking. Like that one old preacher, he said, you can't learn nothing from them. Old Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. He said, they don't know what they're talking about. But I tell you what, boy, I tell you, man, it had been quiet for 400 years, and all of a sudden, out there on the dark Judean hillside with a starlit night, no cars, no trains, no airplanes, that angel stepped down who used a cloud for his pulpit and got his message right off the throne of God and spoke to a little band of Jewish shepherds out there in the field and broke the silence of God for 400 years and said, fear not! And they looked up in there and thought, Lord have mercy, what is that? And he said, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy. I'm telling you, man, he preached. And he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good news, boys, good news. He's here. He's arrived. He's over there in Bethlehem. And that Old Testament had said back in the book of Proverbs, as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And brother, they heard it. I've got good news for you. We've not heard an additional word from God for 400 years since this old book come off the press. But I've got news for you. He's coming again. Amen. Good news from a far country. It was a message of good news. You know, when a person hears about Jesus, it's the best news they've ever heard in their life. Amen. You can't tell anybody any better news except that Christ the Savior is born. I heard a preacher on radio this morning talking about they couldn't teach real history in a school. They was talking about a public school system somewhere. And they was talking about that they told the kids this week, One preacher on radio said they told the kids, we're not here in McDowell County, don't get upset. They told the kids somewhere in Florida or somewhere in a public school system that the pilgrims were thankful, and what they were thankful for was that the Indians had allowed them to settle. And they were thankful to the Indians. And somebody said, that's not true. That wasn't what they was thankful for. And they said, well, we can't teach the real truth because it's too controversial. Ain't that something? History class supposed to teach history, people. You want me to say that again? I don't care if they're thanking a rock. We ought to tell kids the truth. What if it does contradict what's politically correct? Who cares? This is a history class. Man, y'all are getting backslid or something. I mean, it's only December the 1st. Don't get this messed up this quick. Good time of year to backslide. I'm telling you, all that food and shopping will put the devil right in you. You got to realize, listen, this was a message of good news, good news, good news, good news, good news. When, listen, God always comes through with good news for His people. Secondly, this morning, it was a message to the common people. You got that? It was a message to the common people. Shepherds out in the field, as usually God speaks. The angels did not go to Herod on his throne. The angel did not go to the governor or to the chief priest or to the Pharisees or to the religious leaders of that day. That's very significant. They didn't go to Cardinal Bernardino before he died the other day or to the Pope or anywhere. You know where them angels appeared and preached? They preached to shepherds in the field. Common people. You know why? Because they had listened. Mark chapter 12, verse 37 said the common people heard the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not too rich or educated or intelligent in their own eyes to listen to the message. They would not try to figure it out. That's why the Bible said not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise. God don't always talk to big shots of this world. He talks to common, ordinary, everyday, hardworking shepherds who are out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. That's significant. If God wants to say something to us in this generation, He'll speak to shepherds who are watching over the flock by night. Spiritually speaking, that's preachers who are watching out for God's children, preaching to them in this night time, the day and night you are living in. Like one little kid said in Sunday school, said something. He said, Mama, I bet them shepherds, why them shepherds have such dirty feet? And she said, what are you talking about, honey? And they said, because at school, at church, they taught us that they wash their socks by night. And she said, I got one little kid, you know, they get it all mixed up. One little kid come in, she said, Mama, I know who the Virgin Mary was, but who's the King James Virgin? But anyway, it was a message to the common people. Number three, it was a message of certainty. You know how these angels preach? They preach certain. Absolutely sure. Boy, I like somebody to get up and preach and say, this is just the way it is. Not I think, or it might, or I hope, or it could be this way. I'm not trying, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he said, hey boys, got a message for you. Guess what? This day, today, not tomorrow, not last week, not week after next, today is born the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ain't you glad that angel didn't preach like some preachers nowadays? If it had been nowadays, he'd have come out and said, shepherds, shepherds, may I have your attention, please? Now, I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm doing that pretty good. I better watch out. I'm going to go out there and jump in a mud hole when this is over. Eat some dirt. Somebody hit me when this is over real hard in the face. I'm about to toughen up a little bit. Do you know what? He didn't stand up there and say, now, my personal opinion is that there is a baby born who might be the Savior. But now I'm not going to try to force my beliefs on you guys. You can believe whatever you like, but he might. That's the way they talk now. It ain't no wonder people don't go to church. Who in the world wants to hear some idiot talk? If he don't even know what he believes, who would want to hear him? Would you want to come hear me preach if I didn't even know what I believe myself? Why would you want to go hear a preacher who don't even know if he's going to heaven himself?
You say, you know you're going to heaven? Yes, sir. Absolutely. Positive. 100%. You know, I said, oh, atheist, you used to go hear Jack Hiles preach, and he'd go here and preach every Sunday. And they asked him one time, they said, man, how come you go here and preach every Sunday? You don't believe a word he says. And he said, that's right. And they said, well, why you go here and preach? And he said, because he believes it. And it makes a big difference if a preacher believes what he's saying. And you can tell it if they don't, if they're just doing it to get paid, can't you? You can tell it. So that guy stood there. Can you imagine nowadays? Now, it might be in Bethlehem, but I don't mean to sound prejudiced or anything, but all you other towns might be offended, and I'm not trying to take sides. I want to be politically correct about this, because Sonia won't have me on CNN or Larry King or no one. And I know we have a diverse group of people here, but we believe he's the Savior. Now, if you don't believe he's the Savior, that's fine, and we don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. If you believe Louis Farrakhan or anybody like that's right, you may be right yourself, but we choose to believe that this is the Savior. Well, shut up then. Shut up. I don't want to hear no angel preach like that. You know what that guy said? He jumped up there on that cloud. He said, hey, guess what? There's a Savior born over here. He's the Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Well, that sounded a little dogmatic there, didn't it? You mean to tell me he's the Lord? Yes, he's the Lord. But what if we don't believe that? Then you're wrong. You mean you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? Yes, sir. What God said is right. If you don't believe that, you're wrong. It was a message of certainty. Hey, I want to tell you something this morning, people. You've only got one life. You're going to be dead soon. We don't have time for hope so, maybe so, think so, I might, I don't know which religion's right. You better get it right the first time, because you ain't coming back again. You're not coming back again. It was a message of certainty. And this shall be a sign unto you. You may find the babe in Bethlehem wrapped in swaddling clothes. But I'm not too sure about that. It might be Huggies or Loves. But anyway, you shall find him lying in a manger. Or it might be Holiday Inn or Motel 6 or somewhere like that. You just go over there and you guys just work it out. However you believe, as long as you're... No, it wasn't. It was a message of certainty. Number four, it was a message for everyone. To all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Which shall be to what? All people. I want to tell you, let's get this through our head once and for all. Jesus did not just come down here and give his life for a certain few people. This thing is for everybody. It's for your brothers, your sisters, your aunt. I've heard people say, well, I just don't know if I'm one of the chosen. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anybody can be one of the chosen. All you got to do is jump in, man. Jump in. Jesus died for everybody. The door's open for everybody. Anybody can be saved. Some of you sitting here this morning, you're probably saying, boy, he's lucky. It worked for him. And these other people up there singing in the choir, raising their hand. Listen, this is for you. This is for your problem. There ain't no difference between me and you. There ain't no difference, except I'm probably worse than you are. There ain't no difference at all. Listen, I just believe what he said. That's it. That's it. That's all you have to do this morning. There's people in here this morning with marriage problems. He came to help you with your burdens and problems. There's people in here this morning with problems with the teenagers and problems. You got all kinds of mess in your home. Jesus come. It was a message for everyone. The Bible said, whosoever. The Bible said, if any man thirst. The Bible said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, brother. Billy Sunday, they said, when he'd go to a town to preach, he had asked the mayor one time when he went to his town to preach. He said, Mayor, he said, I want you to give me a book. He said, write it down. He said, I want you to write it down in a little book. Everyone in this city who has a need. And the mayor handed him the phone book and said, here's the people in our city that has a need. I'm telling you, he came for all of us. He cares about you this morning. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're having to put up with. He knows your burden. He knows your care. And he's willing to relieve that burden right here this morning. Africa. Asia, China, Japan. Some people get the idea that Christianity is a white man's religion. That's a bunch of bull. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't white. He wasn't black, neither. He was brown. Don't make no difference. It's for everybody. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, listen, it's for everybody. You say, well, what good was a Jew who died 2,000 years ago to do me today? He's on his throne in heaven this morning making intercession for you. That same Jesus that angel preached about, I'm standing here preaching about you. He's right here in this room and able to help you today. You know what? The material things of Christmas will never make you happy. There's not a woman in here, if you got a diamond necklace for Christmas, oh, I'm sure about all of you, you'd really like it. It'd make you happy. But within six weeks, that thing, you'd lay it there on the dresser and wear it, you know, when you thought about it and everything, and it wouldn't bring you no happiness. Ain't that right? You say, I'm going to get a new car for Christmas and I'll never be sad again. You ain't never had a new car, have you? When you get that new car, you say, all right, nobody's going to eat in this car. No food in here, kids. I'm going to wash you down there at the car wash every day. They made a fortune off you. That lasts about a month, maybe. Boy, you're turning all the buttons and driving it and feeling you just love to be going down the street. And it ain't 2 months till you get all this junk back on your mind and you run out and jump in that thing and go where you're going and get out and you don't even realize you've been in it. Because it won't make you happy. It won't meet the need of your heart. God's got it fixed so you got a little place inside your heart here that's empty. You say, if I just had a boyfriend. Nah, he ain't going to fill it up. He'll make it worse in most cases. You say, if I just had a wife or a husband or a girlfriend or a kid or something. No, God's got it fixed where He's the one who got to satisfy you. He's got it fixed so nothing in this world will satisfy you but Him. And I don't know about you tonight or this morning, but I just want to make up my mind. I got to go to Texas this week. And I'll be gone. I'm leaving Tuesday morning, preach out there all week. And you know what's going to make me happy? There ain't nothing make me happy on an airplane in Texas, man, except the Lord. Oh, I'd love to go to Texas. Help yourself. Help yourself. You say, I would love... You ain't never been, have you? I'm going to Amarillo, Texas. And you know what it looks like? It looks just like the moon. I think that's where they went and filmed it and ripped us off for a few billion tax dollars. Never know, do you? They've hid stuff before, man. They've hid them UFOs. But anyway, do you know what? It looks like the moon out there. I'm telling you, it looks awful. Ain't but one thing make me happy there or here. And that's my heart being right with the Lord. You say, well, if I hadn't married Him. No, that ain't your problem. Your problem is you'll never, ever be satisfied until you let the Lord satisfy you. That's where your happiness comes from. You've got to get it from the Lord. That's good news. The message of the angels was, it's for everybody. It's for you this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. You say, preacher, something you said there a while ago really clicked in my heart and really hit home. Now, if that's your case this morning, God's speaking to you. If you need to come to this altar this morning, just come out of your seat and get down here on your knees. Amen. One's already come. There may be others. You'll never be happy, never be happy, till Jesus makes you happy. That's why He came. That's why He came, to meet the need of your heart. Material things, well, I don't care what you give for Christmas. It ain't going to satisfy you. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of hearing the greatest story ever told. The message that the angel preached that night to the shepherds on the hillside. Our Father, I pray that these truths will ring home to the hearts of people. Dear God, I pray, meet the need of every life. Do what ought to be done in every soul. We'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.